Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That is outstanding. Mully and Handley, wow. Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
That was our scouting report.
Only in a goodie.
From OKC on campaign, who is only being held back by Russell Westbrook's greatness. What?
And he is now going to play with the, what are they, the... I wish I could remember. The Red Bulls? He needs some Red Bull? The Windy City Bulls.
Yes. Now the right. G League, brought to you by Gatorade, right?
Not the Windy League. City Bulls, not to be confused with the Chicago Bulls. Lauri Markkanen will be practicing with the Windy City Bulls as well while he awaits his teammates' arrival home or their return to duty, their return to practice. They just finished the three-game West Coast sweep. Yeah.
Next game Friday, right here at the United Center against the Jimmy Butler.
Hit 7. And losing to Sacramento, huge.
Huge.
Huge. And Jimmy, I got that game written down as a loss for the Bulls. If they win that game, shame on them. Because Jimmy, Tibbs, there's some angry Minnesota Timber Puffs or Thunderwolves or whatever the hell they're called.
What did you guys think of those the jerseys the Kings had on last night with the floor design, the city?
Yeah,
feeling that.
It was a little too powdery blue for me. A little too powdery blue. I like more of a navy. I think a dark navy blue, like the Bears when they really get that navy going, that scares people because it looks like it's black, but it's not. So their eyes pop and they can beat the hell out of you. Well, not anymore.
Bears have to bring back those orange jerseys, right?
No, no. Destroy them. And you know what else they need to destroy is those, do you remember the makeshift jersey they had or the 1920s thing with the vertical lines? That was god awful.
Yes.
Oh.
Looked like a chain gang.
Oh, that was bad. Never return those. You know, it's a pity that there isn't like a really good throwback Bear jersey, right? I mean, the throwback jerseys they had were not very good. The Detroit Lions had awesome looking throwback jerseys, right? The silver and the blue, that was sharp. You'd like to have like a sharp looking throwback, not some strange. How did those colors get together, and why did they make them vertical?
So that you have losses 8 and 9 on Friday and Saturday back to back. Your Timberwolves in Washington. Back home games.
You know, I mean, they could win on Saturday. They're going to win some games, unfortunately. But now that Nico is gone, it's almost like okay, we can get back to losing. And Sacramento still sits behind them, despite that win. But that was
one game. Sacramento's got one game on them.
Huge loss because it's head to head. And, of course, you had this monstrous lead.
They 21 were up points.
21 at one point.
28-9 in the first quarter.
You lost to a team. Like, you talk about the Bulls. Their problem has been slow starts, and when they start strong, they lost to a team that started the game 0-for-10 with 3 turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
So not only were they missing shots, they were giving the ball away. And then the Bulls rally back to defeat, which is exactly the way to look at it, because it's about the number of ping pong balls. It's about making sure you finish in the top four and you're adding another talented player to the core of good players. And you know, listen, I wish no man to fall on his face. I wish no man to take a bite out of the floor, to damage his teeth, to have a concussion. But the Chris Dunn thing has kind of played into their hands. And Lauri Markkanen having a child has also kind of played into their hands, right?
Oh,
he didn't have the child. It was his wife or girlfriend.
Thanks
or whatever.
For clarifying.
He's a young man, isn't he, having a kid?
Yeah, I'm just surprised.
Saying, that's
good for him.
You know, I mean, I know there are younger men that have children, but that's pretty
young. He's European. There's no rules over there.
How old is Lauri?
What does that mean?
Lowry?
He'll be 21 in May.
Yeah, he's a very young
man. I'm just
man.
Saying, that's young.
Yeah, he's settled in. That's good. And see, 21 Nico,
in May, so that means he can't legally have a drink, but he's had a child.
I think in Europe he can, right?
Nico's first game?
Saturday, off the charts.
Yep, he was great. And
last night they put him in the starting lineup. Five points.
How'd they do?
Well, they got blown out.
So they've lost both games since Nico's arrived. Yeah. That's my point. Get that draft pick going. You want to have a top five pick, and you want to have a top 10 pick.
So Robin Lopez is too good to keep around by Thursday. He's played his last game for the Bulls last night, was it?
Is that what you've declared?
Well, I mean,
you were the one who made the argument not to trade him.
I don't want to trade. I mean, if you're going to settle for a second-round pick, I think he adds value to help guys on the floor as much as off the floor. I think that
I think you got to figure out what you got in Felicio. Why isn't he playing? You got an
what you
Omer.
Got there is a big contract.
If you have an Omer Sheik, you gotta you got the birds. You gotta let them fly. That's what I like to say. So if you got an Omer, you gotta let them.
Is Omer sticking around, or are they trying to flip him too?
I'd flip him if you could flip him. The problem with him is money, right?
Yeah,
I mean that's the problem. The contract's
pricey.
Pretty good. Yeah. So you'd run into problems there, but sure. I mean, let's get them all out of here.
Well,
just bring in more assets. They're in a rebuild. You know, I would rather see some second round pick that might have a little hope, as opposed to a campaign or someone like that.
Well, yeah, you're not getting anything for campaign.
No. But Jaren Grant has been mentioned.
Yeah,
right.
Again, packaging a Jaren Grant and Rolo. I don't know what you get for that. I mean, I really
don't. It's not. You get worse. That's what you're after, isn't it?
Yes.
Justin Holiday help a team maybe.
Maybe
I think Justin
Holiday.
Sure,
he can score. Yeah,
he can get hot. You get worried that he might get hot and win a game, because really. Again, the way you got to look at it, I'm not an advocate of tanking, but as a Bulls fan, if you win because Zach LaVine has gone off, or Chris Dunn has gone off, or Lauri Markkanen has gone off, then you are happy because you want those guys to come from.
Last night was a great game. Zach
Last
LaVine,
night was perfect.
27
perfect.
Points, great field goal percentage. And you lost the game. It was entertaining. You coughed up the big lead, and you got the loss. And your one core guy who was available and out there had a good game.
I guess the market has taken a dump, according to Kevin. I don't know if you're following this. I'm not talking about the basketball market, but the stock market is not
that,
doing
is that
well.
The word? The words
that's
he
what
used?
That's what he said. It's the
I didn't say that verbatim.
Wow,
that's exactly what he said. That's not what you said.
Cleaned it up a little bit, I think, for for air.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, with something along those lines.
I was going to say I don't even know.
I've never heard the expression, but that's what he said.
No, my dad was a stockbroker. I don't believe I ever
it's
heard him say
gone
that.
Gone down, and I was saying to him, my strategy of being broke is finally paying off because. While the panic in the streets reigns, I still have my shoebox and, you know, whatever pittance I could.
I knew that mattress money was going to be safe.
My precious is all that I have left, but that's enough. So.
Yeah.
But apparently there is trouble in the stock market, and that is disconcerting. Corey Crawford continues to practice with the Blackhawks. They host the Flames tonight at the United Center. There is still no timetable on a return, but the idea is that he will return, right? We'll see him before the year is over. The Blackhawks still 5 points out of the wild card.
It's not the 5 points. It's the four teams in front of them.
It's three teams in front of them.
Well, actually, there's four.
Are you now claiming four?
Well, because one actually holds the final wild card spot, so you have to throw them in as well.
Yeah.
It's four teams.
No, I didn't know
5 points and four teams.
That's not good.
So that's a problem. And by the way, those teams are beating, you know, Calgary would be one of those teams, I do believe, right?
That is one of the teams.
Yes.
Calgary or Calgary?
Oh, here we go.
Do we have to get through that again?
What about Vancouver?
Here we go again.
Here
that's
we
nice.
Go.
Hey, Todd Frazier signed a 2-year deal. The market has broken through.
Yeah, what collusion?
A 2-year deal with the Mets worth $17 million.
That's pretty good. Didn't have to move?
It's like a big pay cut for him, and he was pretty good. He had like a pretty good what was he? He was like a 3.4 WAR in 2017, something like that, Kevbo. I'm just saying that's a pretty good player to give money to.
What's he getting? He's getting $8 million a year for 2 years?
Yeah, it's not as much money as you'd hope.
Is it 2 years 17?
2 years 17.
He doesn't have to move. Saved on moving
costs. He was a 3?
3.0, yeah.
3.0.
That's pretty good.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying that, you know, if you could load up with guys with that kind of a WAR, that's not. Right. That's
still
not,
play a little third base.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, strike out 250 times a year.
Why were you shaking your head no when I said that?
I had to double check. It seemed high. I don't know. I'm not a big Todd Frazier fan.
No, you're not.
You and the Hawk love him. But
I, you know, I will check on him if it happens. I told you, I saw him. The greatest thing to go to at these fan conventions is the interview with the kids. They have the kids interview. So some kid asked him what he was afraid of. It was a panel, and he was on it. And Todd Frazier, throughout the course then of the next half hour, kept blurting out things he was afraid of. I thought it was hysterical. It, like, all of a sudden, you know, there'd be like a silence in the room, and he'd be like, sharks. And then no one would say anything for a while. There'd be an answer, and then he'd just pop in with definitely spiders. It
Hawk,
was hilarious.
Hawk checking up on me. That was also.
Oh gosh, there's always something.
So that was the signing that's going to break the iceberg here. And here comes Arrieta, uh-huh. Here comes Yu Darvish, right? That's what baseball was waiting on.
The Bears have a new offensive consultant, Brad Childress. He will join one Matt Nagy on his coaching staff here in Chicago. They work together in Kansas City. We will bring in our guy, Brad Biggs. He, of course, letting us know about it, and we'll talk to him about what this could mean, how good this is, and why didn't they do this for Dowell Logans? Would he still be here had they gone out and got one of his mentors? Okay, we probably won't ask that question. But we'll talk to Biggsy next. It's Biggs Time on Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs joins us on the Ed Napleton Automotive Group hotline with locations throughout Chicagoland. Visit ednapleton.com. And Biggsy, of course, is the football man from the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to this program and a dear and valued friend. Biggsy!
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, Brad Childress, Brad, this is great news for the Bears, in my opinion. He brings...
kind of a serial killer mentality.
He brings a one-mindedness, a focus that you have to have. And it's, you know, let's be honest about it. He brings a kind of a trusted confidant, a voice of reason, a guy that's been there and done it. It just, I don't see any negative to it, and I think it makes them a better team.
Yeah, I think Brad Childress in the building can only help them out. You're talking about a guy with head coaching experience in the National Football League for, you know, an offensive staff that Matt Nagy's called plays for, what, 5 games? Mark Helfrich, the offensive coordinator, has not worked previously in the National Football League. The quarterback's coach, Dave Ragone, has been around for a little bit. But as a quarterback's coach or wide receiver's coach previously. So you get a guy that you're probably not going to encounter a whole lot of situations that Brad Childress hasn't been in, you know, multiple times in the past. And so I think that's a good thing for the head coach. And you're right, kind of a trusted confidant that the entire time Matt Nagy was in Kansas City, Brad Childress was there as a member of Andy Reid's staff as well, so they know each other really well.
And we don't know the particulars or what, you know, the role is going to be, how it's going to actually play out, but we'll find out in time. So any help that he can bring is going to be certainly welcome. But is that something you see a lot of around the league, where you have, especially as the league turns to younger and younger guys who've never had that head coaching position? Are you going to see that moving forward?
Yeah, I think each head coach is going to design the type of staff that is going to make him the most comfortable. So you'll see guys who have, you know, offensive consultants, or they've got kind of these titles that aren't real specific, and you sort of wonder, okay, what exactly is he doing? But in Carolina this past season, Ron Turner served that role, and the offensive coordinator, of course, has moved on, and Ron and his brother Norv are there together now. So you'll see situations where people have titles that are a little vague, but you know what? Generally speaking, they're guys you've heard of, guys with a really thick resume of experience. So you know that they're going to be able to add a level of expertise to the situation. And we don't know yet exactly what Nagy's going to ask him to do. You know, it could vary from week to week. I don't know. It could be, you know, hey, be near me on the sideline on game day. And so he could be a sounding board for decisions that need to be made in a very short period of time.
And, Brad, I think that when Matt Nagy kind of described the way that they put game plans together and the way that they call plays, you know, everybody puts their plays up and they choose the best plays. I mean, this is a guy that can help him with that. You know, it's another voice in the room, a guy that knows about offensive football. And, you know, I just like the move, and I think it's a guy he feels comfortable with. And I think it's, you know, and we were talking about it early. Wouldn't Dow Logans have benefited from having somebody like this to lean on, to talk to? I mean, I understand that, you know, you want to run your own fiefdom and you want to have control over what you're doing. But if you have someone that you trust, that you like, that you know, it's a lot easier to go to someone like that than someone who is effectively an underling of yours.
Yeah, well, I think that's the key, and you hit on it. You've got to have someone out there that you've got a pre-existing relationship with, that you know how they communicate and they know how you communicate, so that you don't run into misunderstandings and you don't have, you know, egos getting in the way of things or hurt feelings or any of that. So when you can find a guy with experience that you have, you know, worked with before, that's the kind of guy you can drag out of retirement after he's been retired for only 1 month. And, you know, perhaps if Childress had retired to somewhere other than Chicago, where it's been brutal for the last month, maybe that would have been a tougher sell for Nagy. I don't know.
What the hell's going on with the Colts? What's your read on that? What does Chris Ballard do? I saw Dave Tobe's name mentioned, but you know, and how much of a bullet did the Bears dodge if you have a reluctant head coach?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what's going on there, but it's a little puzzling. You know, it is absolutely a little bit puzzling in terms of the Colts situation, because if you can't get that done right now, then you're really in a mixed bag in terms of what are you going to do at this point? Because you've been making plans all along, and you got to get it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, do you want a 95% certain Josh McDaniels, or do you want to go back to square one and start the process over and not really scramble to get a head coach and a staff together? But really, if the head coach isn't head over heels about the opportunity, you'd have some real, you know, concerns for Chris Ballard and Jim Irsay and everyone in that building.
Yeah, I see some reports that, you know, he's flying to Indianapolis, so maybe they meet about it. But I know this: if McDaniels winds up not taking this job, and it comes out that he was going to take it, and then he got cold feet, that could make it really difficult for him to get a job in the future. You know, think about that. A guy who had head coaching experience in Denver that went very poorly, rehabilitated his image in New England as a just top-flight coordinator, play caller, but then, you know, has cold feet about taking a job in a situation like this. That could turn a lot of people off, because do you want to go do that dance with him and run the risk of getting the same response,
right,
if you know what I mean?
All right. Sounds great, Brad. We really appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too, pal. That is our guy, Brad Biggs. Yeah, I think he'll end up being okay. I think he'll take that job, and I think everything will turn out well, and hopefully he's on the way there. But that is just a bad optic, Joe, the idea that he wasn't racing to get down there as quickly as everyone thought. Apparently he didn't even tell the Patriots about it, even though everyone knew.
Right.
He hadn't made a formal proclamation to them as of yesterday. So that's weird.
Well, yeah, we've been talking about the last couple of years. He's been a hot candidate again to get another opportunity that he's been waiting out for the right situation. Is the Colts situation the right situation right now?
Or the Patriots?
Well, if the Patriots come to him and say, we have a two-year plan or something like that, and hand the reins over to you, would you stick it out over there?
Well, you know what's really weird, too, is that another report is that he's bringing the special teams coordinator with him. So instead of losing two coordinators, they're actually going to lose three. And then maybe he stays. That would mean that the special teams coordinator doesn't go. So maybe they only lose one. I mean, I'm like, what?
And they had a lot of special teams issues.
I'm just saying, it's really weird the way this thing is breaking down. And, you know, the other element to it is you look at what McDaniel said yesterday. He said that losing Brandon Cooks was a big deal, that it really did affect their team. You know, I got to be honest with you. To me, it looked like they were walking up and down the field.
Yeah.
It looked like the problem was Malcolm Butler on the other side of the ball. It didn't seem like Brandon Cooks stopped the offense in the second half.
Right. But McDaniels is also in a situation. What's he going to do? Rip the defense entirely? He's going to take some of the blame?
I'd love for him to say that. Well, you know what? We missed Brandon Cooks, but boy, did they miss Malcolm Butler on the other side of the ball.
Go talk to the new coach of the Lions. Ask him what happened with his group.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Mully and Hanley flashback.
Let's get out to Brad Childress, longtime NFL man, 30-year head coach, 30-year coach, and obviously former head coach in Minnesota and Marmion Military Academy, local guy made good. Brad, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
How are you guys this morning? Good?
We're doing great. And, people in town really impressed with Matt at his introductory news conference. There's a lot of work to be done, and a lot goes into it. But Andy Reid said that he was the most ready assistant he's ever had. I don't know if he was trying to insult you, Brad, but I think he was building up his guy. What's your take? What's your take on this guy? I know you're close friends.
Yeah, more than ready for what he's about to jump off into. It's funny in this business how the better you get at what you do, it seems like the less you do of it, you know, in that CEO mode, you know. So he's worked from being a position coach to a coordinator and now a head coach, and now he's in charge of managing people. But I don't think he's ever going to wander very far away from that quarterback position, because I know myself and I know Andy, that's where you gravitate back to what you know.
And Brad, Matt mentioned a couple things. One, he will be doing the play calling. But two, he talked about being in the room with you and with Andy and other coaches. And he said Andy didn't have any ego. So anyone who had an idea on a play that would work or an offensive scheme, everyone talked about it, and everyone could bring ideas to the table. Do you assume he'll take that philosophy and execute it here?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, we're coaches are the biggest thieves in the world. You grab somebody else's stuff and you make it your own and give it your own name, and it's pretty soon it's like you develop that play or that style.
Can we talk you out of retirement, Brad? Wouldn't it be nice for you to work for the hometown team? Is that humanly possible?
Yeah, Olin Krutz said he would get in a car and drive to your house and say, "How retired are you, Brad? What will it take?"
Yeah, you never know. I never say never, right?
That's fantastic. That's good to hear. We're hearing Mark Helfrich is coming in as the offensive coordinator, the former Oregon coach. And, you know, it's interesting because not a guy of the scheme, but certainly a guy that has called plays before in college and part of the Chip Kelly kind of tree. And interesting that you could have other types of play callers, other types of plays coming into the Bears.
Where I think this thing is going, we recruit all college guys, and, there's nothing wrong with what Oregon has been doing the last few years on offense. They played for a national championship when Mariota was there, and it's a unique style of football, and some of that NFL hasn't seen before. So, yeah, I think that'll be a great hire for Matt, and I think it'll be a great sounding board. And as you mentioned earlier, those ideas, you know, sometimes things can get stale, and it's great to have a new face in a room that has a couple new ideas.
Matt mentioned that you tell him plenty of stories, and as a head coach, when you're thrown into that, you probably think you know what you're getting into, but obviously probably in the first week, first month, certainly the first season, you don't anticipate certain things, whether on or off the field. You know, what pitfalls usually occur for a new head coach?
Well, as I've told Matt, I could be coming in at 5 o'clock in the morning to get on the treadmill and have these six things that I wanted to get through today. I got to address them. I got to put them behind me. And I could be in there for 20 minutes, and it might be the strength coach that is hitting me with something that's important. And before the day was over, not only was I not doing those six things, I was going 180 degrees away from them doing six other things. So it's one of those deals you got to deal with whatever's in front of you, whether it's one of your players or one of your coaches or something administratively. You got to do what's called for, and you got to hire good people around you so that they can do what you're asking them to do.
Brad, you talk about kind of the copycat nature of running plays in the NFL and of kind of mixing things up. I was just doing some research talking to some scouts about the way Kansas City ran plays and what you guys were up to, and everybody said the same thing. You know, everyone knows it's technically the West Coast offense, but really it's about plays. It's just about different types of plays and calling plays and changing and attention to detail. You know, do you view this as a type of scheme, or is it more about the individual play?
No, I think it's more a scheme, and it's all the things that you mentioned. Everybody's got those lines that they draw on the paper. You see a lot of teams that run the same plays that you do, but you don't see the detail, for instance, at the top of a route, how a guy's coming out of a route and transitioning, or what he's doing versus man-to-man as opposed to maybe what we're teaching versus man-to-man. So I think it's the details within the West Coast. And, you know, the West Coast is awful general these days. You know, Mike Shanahan took it and ran one direction with it. John Gruden took it and added a whole different run element to it than maybe what Bill Walsh was doing. I think Andy's added his own flavor. It's a lot of the same plays, yes, but you kind of put a different skirt on them and you trot them out a different way.
You mentioned hiring good people and allowing them to help you out. How much is it a difficult balance to know how much to delegate and when to get involved?
Well, as Coach Reed and I have said, and again, he was my offensive line coach back in 1986 in Northern Arizona.
Wow.
You can't ever let your personality leave that room. And one of the things since Coach Reed has come back, he's done every installation since I've been there for the last 5 years. And that's something that he ceded to me and to Marty Morningwig when he also had the personnel on his plate. But he got into this thing to coach football, and that's what you see him doing. And I don't think Matt's going to be any different. He's not going to cede the football to anybody. He's going to want to make sure there's a great foundation built. Everybody understands what we're doing protection-wise, route-wise, quarterback-wise, read-wise. I think you're going to see him heavily involved in that stuff.
Brad, when we talk about play calling, I mean, there is a certain rhythm that goes with it. There's a certain uncertainty, if you will, because you can call a play and you can end up expecting to get one result, get a different result. Maybe there's a penalty. It just changes the way that you're trying to put plays together. How has Matt grown as a play caller? He's got a limited amount of experience with that, the last five games of the year and obviously the playoff game. But what about taking on that role in addition to taking on the role of head coach? Is that a difficult thing to be both play caller and head coach, and how do you balance that?
Well, I think you set your time aside. I mean, he's going to be a guy that's going to work tirelessly, and so he's going to be in there when everybody else leaves on a Thursday night or a Friday afternoon. He's going to be finished getting his card in order and how he wants to see these plays roll out. And you're right. Every situation is different, but he has a very fertile mind, I would say. And the biggest thing that comes from is, A, knowing who you're playing with, what he can do. And he and Alex's relationship was second to none. So he knew what plays on that card he favored and which ones he didn't like. And obviously, you got a higher chance for success if you're running plays that the quarterback likes to execute.
And I know you were in the interviews with Mitch Trubisky and what you put him through when you got him into your facility. And it was interesting. Matt was asked on our station after his initial press conference, is Mitch a guy you win with or because? And he kind of thought for a second. He said, well, initially it's with because you want to get to the because. How long does it take? I mean, no one has patience these days when you're developing a young quarterback.
You know, nobody does, but I'd say this. He's got 12 games under his belt. When I coached Donovan McNabb his first year, Doug Peterson was our starter for 9 games, and Donovan only got the rest of those games up to 16. We were 6-10. So I think those 12 games are really going to serve him well. Now, it's not ideal that you change a coordinator, but with looking at his aptitude and watching him in the 7 hours that we had him with, he'll jump in the book. He'll know what's going on. He'll be able to get some of the fine points, and I just think you'll continue to see him grow and blossom. Nobody likes to hear it, but guys don't really hit their stride in this offense probably till their third, fourth, and fifth year. But I think you'll see big signs of that even as you head into the preseason.
It was very interesting. At the news conference, he was asked if there was any kind of what was the combination when you look at the success of Donovan McNabb under Andy, Michael Vick, and now Alex Smith. And he immediately answered. He kind of jumped on the question. They had a coach who believed in him. And, you know, we talk about confidence and building up a guy. How important is that element to being able to make a guy play better, being able to teach him all of that?
Yeah, I think that's huge. You know, in this day and age, the millennials, if you will, you know, they're the kind of generation Y. Why are we doing this? What are we doing this for?
Right.
And Matt will have all the whys to that, but he is an authentic person. And I think quarterbacks, especially in the National Football League, they can smell BS coming off you from a long way away. and because he is authentic, he's going to let them know always where he stands. He's going to let every guy on that team. All a man ever wants to know is where he stands, and I think Matt will do a great job with that, whether it's a defensive tackle or whether it's a wide receiver, but most especially the quarterback.
Have you had a conversation with Matt about, I don't know, consultant, you know, part-time, full-time, anything being part of this?
Oh, I'd let him address that. We talk about lots of things, but he's got his plate full doing the things he's doing right now.
He's Brad Childress joining us, Chicago guy made good. You know, does it mean anything, the hometown team thing? You know, we got people already texting in about Marmion, as we mentioned, that you went there, and you were a great athlete there. And I mean, not the biggest guy in the world, but certainly a hell of an athlete in both-way player, right, as I recall, at in high school. I remember talking to you about that years ago at the Combine. Does it mean anything to you to be, you know, maybe back in the hometown to see one of your proteges in the hometown?
It absolutely does. I was lucky enough to where my dad took me to Wrigley Field and watched the Bears play. I was there the day that Gale Sayers was taken off on an infamous picture on that stretcher that you never see anymore. I watched that happen from the upper deck down the third baseline. Yeah, I've always been a Bears fan. That may have been one of the tougher things in going to the Minnesota Vikings. You know, you're a Bears fan. You know all about the Chicago Bears, Chicago people, Chicago's passion for sports, and especially their football team. So, yeah, it's huge. And I'll watch that from afar. That'll be really satisfying to watch him have success.
You pulling for Doug Peterson this weekend?
I am. Doug took a couple guys from this staff, and Doug's a great person. I'm especially pulling for Nick Foles. I hope he can do well. He did well for us when he had to jump in Alex's stead 2 years ago when he got hurt down in Indianapolis. And you don't make him any better than Nick Foles. Tremendous person, and you wish him only the best.
Brad, thank you a ton. We really appreciate your insights and jumping on with us. A lot of fun talking to you. I've been an admirer of yours for a long time.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. That's Brad Childress, a longtime NFL man, 30-year head coach, has retired. But you never say never, Brian.
No, love that perspective, too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.